Today is either the eighth Sunday after the Epiphany or the last Sunday before Lent, and I chose that we would follow the lectionary readings today for the eighth Sunday after the Epiphany. And so we are reading from the prophet Isaiah in the 49th chapter, beginning at verse 8. Isaiah is giving prophecy to the people of Israel and Judah. And hear his words. This is what the Lord says. In the time of my favor, I will answer you, and in the day of salvation, I will help you. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people, to restore the land and to reassign its desolate inheritances. Say to the captives, come out, and to those in darkness, be free. They will feed beside the roads and find pasture on every barren hill. They will neither hunger nor thirst, nor will the desert heat or the sun beat upon them. He who has compassion on them will guide them and lead them beside springs of water. I will turn all my mountains into roads, and my highways will be raised up. See, they will come from afar, from the north, some from the west, some from the region of Aswan. Shout for joy, O heavens! Rejoice, O earth! Burst into song, O mountains! For the Lord comforts his people and will have compassion on his afflicted ones. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. And our epistle lesson today is still in the first letter to the church in Corinth. We're reading through Paul's letter this year. We are in the fourth chapter. Hear from Paul these words. So then, men ought to regard us as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the secret things of God. Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. I care very little if I am judged by you or by any human court. Indeed, I do not even judge myself. My conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait till the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of men's hearts. At that time, each will receive his praise from God. And our gospel lesson today is in the Gospel according to Matthew in the sixth chapter. We are continuing to hear the teachings of Jesus, commonly called the Sermon on the Mount. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first God's kingdom and God's righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Here ends our reading from God's holy word. Let us pray. O gracious God, I ask that you bless now the words of our mouths, my mouth, and the meditation of all of our hearts, and the words of our mouths in the days to come as well, that it might be according to your will. Amen. My maternal grandfather, my grandpa Malm, was a worrywart, and this was very clear my whole childhood. And then when I was older, he would say to me things like, well, I found that what I worry about doesn't happen. So I just worry about a whole bunch of stuff so none of the bad stuff happens. Sounds like a good theory, right? That helped my mother become a person whose core being is filled with that motto. She says it this way, what I worry about doesn't come true, so I just worry a lot. And she raised me to have that way of being in life, and unfortunately I matured after I raised my children to have that also, and so there we are, four generations of anxiety prone people. Because, you know, at the end of the scripture we hear, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. You know, that sounds pretty ominous. But when I work with people who are suffering from anxiety disorders, not only do I have a great deal of empathy for them, I help them to come to an understanding that anxiety is worrying about things that are in the future, that may not ever even come to be because of choices made today, or because of whatever reason beyond our control. But we do that, don't we? And all you have to do is look at where we are culturally. Anxiety disorders, huge, becoming one of the number one mental health issues. Stress, sleep deprivation, high blood pressure, cholesterols, increases in all kinds of ill health-related things, which is why I was talking to my friends who were doctors, but I don't want this to be a medical lecture, nor do I want it to be a sociological exercise, but we need to be aware that we today live with chronic anxiety and stress. Our adrenal glands are in overload. They don't get time off. And we're doing this in so many subtle ways. The brain doesn't go to sleep deeply when it falls asleep to televisions or monitors or iPads that have that light pulse, because it stimulates the brain and keeps it going on a state of awakeness and alertness. Jesus tells us, as he told the people he was sitting in front of almost 2,000 years ago, do not worry about your life. And yet we do. We do. We worry not about simple things, it sounds like when he says it, food and clothes, but if we look at the life at the time of Jesus, that was your sole purpose, was to gather food and prepare it and eat it. You spent all day, every day, that was your activity. We've substituted that with grocery stores, but they need money. So we have to work to get money to go to the grocery store to get food. So in essence, we really are chasing food and clothes, shelter, comfort. healthcare. List goes on. Western commodities, Western economies are dependent on commodities. Trade, consumerism, production, agriculture. I watch on Sunday mornings, okay, from 4:30 to 5:30, the Farm Report. Okay. True confessions, yeah? I'm learning a lot. Right now is the season for feeder pigs, okay? But yeah, they've been having conferences around U.S. Ag about, you know, how to grow the best crops and the most production and the highest yield. And yet, there's been a change in the last couple decades that I've been watching the Farm Report, because it used to be they just talked about more chemicals and more fertilizers, and now they're talking about ways to take care of the land because they've been burning it up. And how do you get a better crop with less chemicals? And how do you let it go fallow? And at what price? What's a living wage? And we all worry about that, living wages for us and living wages for people in other nations. And there's so much to worry about, isn't there? And yet, Jesus says, do not worry. Do not worry. Do not worry, because I will feed you. I will clothe you. I will give you what you need. I found it interesting that the lectionary choice was to start with that line, no one can serve two masters, and then ends with, do not worry about tomorrow. Because isn't a lot of our worrying about tomorrow based on the masters that we serve in our daily lives? Needs and wants, pursuits for passions, downtime, raising children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, all the things that become more important to us than our relationship with God. All the things that start blocking the paths for God's Holy Spirit to come in, dwell within us, provide us what our needs are. The Jesus who tells us not to worry is the same Jesus who is the Word that created the heavens and the earth. The same Jesus who knows very well the life of each bird and every plant, who gave them their beauty in each day, and promises to give us the same. You see, do not worry is not a lesson in easing anxiety for anxiety's own sake. It's not a psychological improvement or therapy that's just based on healing with nothing behind it. It is an awareness of the Creator, of the hand that shaped the cosmos, a hand that aligns oneself with us as community, a hand that was willing to become pierced for us, that we might be renewed, that we might be reconciled. Lent starts this Wednesday. I'm not big into giving things up for Lent, but maybe this year you would join me in doing that. I'm going to work really hard to give up worry and anxiety, that I might have space for God's Spirit within me. I'm going to give up fear about anything in this life, and instead fear only my Maker, who has died in order to take that all away from me. May we find trust in God this day. Amen.